This is RJ City, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Yordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Yordano Diablo.
And this week we are joined in studio by Zoom. So I guess it's not in studio at all.
No.
By Zach Schildwachter.
Howdy.
Welcome, filmmaker Zach Schildwachter.
It's good to be back. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah. We were trying to figure it out the other day, like 3-4 years, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
So, Zach, why do you hate people that only watch horror movies in October?
Oh, my, oh, my. Well, I love that people like horror movies. I love talking to people about horror movies, but you get these very vanilla-ass pumpkin spice motherfuckers that want to hit you up come October, like, I want to watch a scary movie, and they have the shittiest taste in what they want to watch. It's... You know, you start giving them suggestions, some recommendations, and, you know, it's kind of like talking to a significant other about where they want to eat. You know, it's like you offer all these options and they just can't seem to pick one. And it's just this big waste of time. And on top of that, what ends up happening is that people only ever want to watch horror movies come October because of Halloween. Granted, I totally understand that. But what ends up happening is the rest of the year, any other horror movie that gets, you know, picked up or distributed or released tends to not have as much favor behind it and that push that it deserves. And it really fucking sucks.
Well, I mean, that's what you get for not releasing your holiday classic during the holiday.
Right. I mean, I still remember when the Saw franchise, like, you knew it was October because you were getting a new Saw film. I mean, the franchise kind of petered off towards the end there. And I know we're all still waiting on the newest incantation of it, the one with Chris Rock. But, you know, right now that's sitting in limbo. Same with Nita Costa's Candyman and a slew of other flicks.
Yeah. No more new movies because of the plague.
Right. And I mean, the thing is with the horror genre, there's so many independent voices and so many films that could be released and can be released because it's the one genre that makes money no matter what time of year. I mean, yeah. Horror fans will come out in droves to see something new. And we've been barraged for so long with reboots and remakes or American adaptations. I remember that whole J-horror movement for a while.
And
you know, we were getting all these classics that were being redone but not doing any of the originals justice, and so these original stories are getting pushed out more so than before, and now in October when they should be, you know, given a showcase and pushed even further, people become kind of maligned where they're like, oh no, I just want to watch, you know, the original Nightmare on Elm Street that I've seen 30 some times. They never want to branch out. And I mean, it's even more so with independent films, with foreign films, because God forbid we read subtitles. And it just, it's, I wish people had a bigger appreciation that would carry over from the month of October to the rest of the year.
It's difficult for me to have any appreciation for horror because I find it to be too white.
It is very, very white, right? And, you know, I mean, there is some progressive changes that are happening, you know, like Nita Costa's Candyman that we mentioned. I'm really intrigued to check out that new Netflix one, Vampires versus Brooklyn, I think is what it's called.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw the trailer for that the other day.
Yeah, that looks dope. I'm like all for that. And, you know, there's the success of Get Out and Us and things like that. And there's a marginalized audience that is craving this kind of stuff, whether it be roles played by people of color, you know, people of different sexual identities, and things like that. And, you know, there's a lot of money being left on the table by not catering to those audiences.
Yeah, that seems just, I don't know, I guess the further people like get comfortable with themselves and people being comfortable with them, it'll probably open up more. It should be open up more now, but I think that that's just going to continue to take time to roll out because you got to find the right people to give you the right money, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Make something like that.
And the big thing too is, you know, I'm not just bitching about adult horror. I'm also bitching about horror for the tweens and kids as well, because, you know, when we were growing up, we had things like Monster Squad and, you know, other films of that ilk that kind of straddled that line of being scary, but also funny and also teaching some kind of deep life lessons. I mean, you know, the older Disney films, they kind of help children deal with the idea of death and processing that and toying with what scared them. You know, I mean, there was everything from the demon in Fantasia to Watcher in the Woods, you know, and all of that. And now it's kind of been pushed to the side. I mean, we get a little bit with like Hotel Transylvania, but that's really more kooky than anything.
I like Goosebumps. It wasn't scary, but I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I, you know, obviously we're not the target audience for that.
No.
Same as Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and things like that. But
did that come out?
Jordan's definitely the target audience for children's horror.
I am children's horror. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I will give a shout out though to like films like Paranorman, which I thought was really cool to have a gay character in for a children's film. And it wasn't like a plot point. It wasn't something the story hinged on. It was just, oh, this is a character. And I think that's really interesting and hopefully we get to see more of, but we won't until people start to clamor for that and do so with their wallets.
Yeah. Right. To have any kind of voice, you need to make money, which it sucks, but it is what it is. It's just entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And I think right now in this kind of COVID era that we're in, everyone quarantined, that the fact that more studios aren't streaming, you know, especially based on safety and all of that, they've kind of have these antiquated contracts where a film has to be in a theater so long before it can be released on VOD or home video and things like that. You know, those deals need to change. Deals are holding a lot of independent films back, are holding a lot of studio films that we want to see back. I mean, they just released the news that Wonder Woman 1984 is going to go directly to streaming. And I think that that's something people really wanted with, you know, Tenet and some of the other big budget movies that Black they've been Widow. Waiting for. Yep, absolutely.
Which I think now you'll see that, though. Like, I think with, because Warner Brothers was the one that kind of dug their heels in and was like, no, if you want to see Tenet, you got to go see it in the theater. And then a couple months after that comes out, I'm guessing it didn't do so well because now they're releasing Wonder Woman, which is going to be, you know, one of their tentpole fucking movies of the year. So I think that you will, like, you know, they released that X-Men flick. Marvel released that X-Men flick, which did shit. Because it came out in like what, August?
Yeah. But where's New Mutants? Where the fuck is that? I've been the horror version of the Marvel universe, and it's been sitting on a shelf for what? No one can explain to me.
Isn't that what came out in August? New
Mutants. Didn't release?
Yeah,
is that the Marvel one you're talking about?
The one with the girl from Game of Thrones, Maisie Williams.
Yeah.
It came out in August, but it was in theaters for like 2 weeks, I think.
No,
that's a whole other horror.
See, that's the other thing is that they want to push these movies out, and then the release dates get pushed and pushed and pushed. And the perfect example in this conversation, it gets lost in the shuffle, and you know, so now I have to go and check that out. So hopefully that'll be good, and that'll be something I'll support because I want to see more of that. You know, that Doctor Strange sequel.
Yes.
Like, I really want that because it's Sam Raimi and it's supposed to be a bit more horror influenced. And I think that universe needs that infusion.
Without a doubt.
Not just for adults, but also for the children that are watching it, because that's what Doctor Strange deals with. You know, he goes on that path because of him dealing with death and his job as a real medical professional. But
right.
He's looking to transcend all of that and try to find the meaning of life after having to deal with all this death. And, you know, I think a horror tinge to that is really, really interesting.
Well, I mean, they're also like a major character in it's going to be Scarlet Witch, which, like, if you read the comics, like, she's one of the most powerful mutants. She's scary as fuck because of what she can do. And, like, if that's going to play, like, a role in that movie, that's going to be really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that if people don't go and support the horror aspect of that, then you'll never fucking see it again.
Exactly. I mean,
and that's, you know, everybody kind of pushed for a long time that gritty reboot. Like, everybody was wanting to chase that Christopher Nolan version of Batman. And it's just everybody in Hollywood, they all want to be number two. Nobody wants to be number one because all the risk of taking and doing something new and whether or not it's going to, you know, hit the wall and stick or just fall flat.
Right.
And so that's, you know, that's why you get all these reboots and remakes instead, because, you know, they want to tap into an already established audience. They want to chase that nostalgia dollar. And then also, you know, whatever parents that grew up with this are going to bring their kids along. But are you really offering the children the best installment of these franchises that they're going to be wanting to see later on?
Probably not. Yeah. Going back to like the topic, like, why do you think that has like people falling into like that, you know, yearly thing of watching horror flicks in October? And like you said, watching the same ones over and over again. Do you think that's just like maybe how the way people are raised? Like, people aren't as into like, the dark side, I guess, whatever the fuck you want to call it, like that aesthetic, aren't into it all the time like guys like you and me are. Mm-hmm. So do you think that's just like the way people are raised? Like, oh, once a year Halloween comes around, so let's watch fucking Hocus Pocus and Friday the 13th, you know? And then...
Yeah.
Then comes the end of the month and, you know, oh, they forget about it. Whereas, like, we wish it could be Halloween all year.
Absolutely. I think it's a large part of what they grew up with, how they grew up with it, and when they grew up with it. I think that, you know, it's been a hot minute since we've had, it's been over 10 years since we had a new Friday the 13th movie. It's been how many years since we've had a new Freddy movie? You know, and you've had these kind of subpar remakes and things like that, and people are gravitating towards the things that they were reminded of in their childhood, you know, the Hocus Pocuses and Nightmare Before Christmas and all that. And what ends up happening is that kind of mentality of not wanting to embrace anything new carries over, and as sure as shit as December hits, we're gonna have the same fucking conversations about whether or not Die Hard is a fucking Christmas movie. You know?
Yeah.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 100%.
He gives people presents and bullets.
This is true. Eyes Wide Shut, great Christmas movie. I will go so far as to say Deep Cover with Lawrence Fishburne, Christmas movie, actually opens on a Christmas liquor store robbery in Cleveland. So... there you go.
Friday After Next is probably my favorite Christmas movie.
Right? Nobody talks about this shit.
That movie is underrated.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole subgenre in horror of Christmas horror.
Christmas
Evil, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Santa Sleigh.
The Santa Sleigh, one of Goldberg's best fucking movies, right?
Goldberg's best movie.
Yeah, true. Because he's acting, because he's Jewish.
I mean, you only really need to watch the first 10-15 minutes of that movie, but
100%.
But like, there's so many. Krampus was great. You know, and I mean, there's other fantastic classics that are still there to discover.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think with horror, there is so many subgenres that people can get into. Like me specifically, I love a killer bug movie. Love a killer. I will watch any killer bug movie. Love a slasher. That being said, I'm not ever really scared by like ghost movies. Exorcism, demon movies, I can kind of take or leave. But that's my personal taste. And I would love to have conversations with people that have, you know, their own personal taste within that. But, you know, October hits and it's just like, well, what do you mean Disney Plus doesn't have Halloween Town? You know, like.
I mean, there's also like, it seems like the last 12 years, I guess, like, I don't know when the first Paranormal Activity came out, but like, it seemed like for the longest time, all we got was like, though it was either found footage, something like the Paranormal Activity, like security cam footage. And what's the other fucking genre that they've been doing like the last 10 years?
It
seems like all the social media kind of shit.
Yeah. And sensploitation. What? Also sensploitation of like the Bird Box, No Eyes, Hush, where she can't speak. Quiet Place, things like that.
And also like you were saying, like the Haunting and Exorcism movies, it seems like every other year or like that the one of those is coming out, or like even Netflix has like the Haunting on Hill House or whatever the fuck. Like it seems like that those are like the major genres of like that's what people were paying to see. Yeah. On like a large scale.
And speaking on that level of support or the lack thereof is the fact that it's completely changed the way horror movies are made. If you look at films over the past 10, 15 years, those budgets for horror movies have dramatically shrank. And what's ended up happening is you have to have, you know, some kind of story that takes place in a single setting or as minimal as possible. Your characters go, you know, down to, you know, two, three, four people, five people kind of thing. And then you have to kind of work this gimmick in that makes it relatable to this world of social media, of, you know, a digital age, of
politics.
Absolutely. And, you know, you kind of have lost this level of exploitation in horror cinema that used to be really progressive. Like if you revisit films from, you know, the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, things like that, you can see some true pioneers that push that needle forward. People like Wes Craven, you know, Last House on the Left defined kind of a generation of horror. Then he came back with Nightmare on Elm Street, that kind of defined another generation. And it was the house that Freddy built for New Line Cinema. And then he came back again with Scream and that whole franchise. And I'm eager to see the new one, you know, without him kind of at the helm, so to speak. I'm excited they got a lot of the original cast members coming back, but I'm optimistic and I really want to be, but I've been betrayed by so many bad horror movies, especially from studios where I'm just like, oh, like I can't take another, you know, cat jump scare, you know,
I mean, horror, it's like horror and porn are the only two franchises. I mean, I guess you could consider all the Marvel movies, they at least, you know, they take place in like a fucking universe, but like, you know, there's not too many movies that you get to like. I mean, there's Fast and Furious. So, you know, that, you know, there's always an exception to the rule, but it seems like horror and porn are the ones where it's like, they'll go past five. They'll make more than five because it is. Also, like porn, and I mean this in a good way, shameless. Like horror is completely shameless.
And that's another thing is that we've gotten to this point where you can't even be a horror fan anymore. It's elevated horror. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, just call it fucking horror. Like, if it scared you, it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
And that's and people throw it out like genre films, like that, or you're a genre filmmaker, and it's like, well, fuck yeah, we're all operating in the genre. Like, you go to see a Marvel movie, you know the good guys are going to win. There's no way you're walking out at the end thinking, like, Ultron or Loki are going to, you know, rule the day. It's the same with horror. Like, you know, when you go in knowing you're meant to be scared, it's that roller coaster ride of, you know, this is as safe and as close to death I can get and still walk away. And you know, it's supposed to be gritty. It's supposed to be scary. It's supposed to be gross. And then it's supposed to be political as well. Horror movies have always been political.
Yeah.
Look
at, I mean, They Live isn't technically, I don't think, a horror movie, but it is a John Carpenter flick. And the themes on that are very prevalent today. And it's very
absolutely political. I mean, Night of the Living Dead, I mean, that is probably one of the most quintessential stories about race relations in America that people can witness. But it's also great because you're not beat over the head with it, but it does make you address it.
Yeah, 100%.
So I have a pitch for a new sensploitation movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so check this out. A race of alien creatures that are only attracted to delicious scents. So people will be cooking a home-cooked meal, and then they'll get murdered. And then somebody will come home from the gym and take off their gym clothes and get murdered. And somebody will buy a fresh bag of weed and open it up and get murdered.
I'm envisioning that scene in Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he covers himself in mud, except it's shit.
Yeah. That's exactly it. There's people like shitting on each other so they can go outside.
On the run.
Mm-hmm. Oh, on the run with the runs.
This has just turned into a really specific search on Pornhub all of a sudden.
Shit on my body to keep me alive.
And to bring it back to Jordan's point and connect it to this one, the horror porn is fucking great. If nobody's ever watched that, it's amazing. Burning Angel makes some of my favorite. Evil Head is amazing. It's directed by Doug Sackman, I believe, and he does a lot of special effects makeup. But like, it is full on Evil Dead with Tommy Pistol playing Ash. And he totally completely looks the part. The cabin, all the makeup effects are there, and you're just like, oh wow. I mean, it confuses a lot of boners, but I think it's kind of supposed to. But yeah, they also
I don't need my boner confused any more than it already is. Yeah,
I would recommend the Triple Exorcist as well. Top notch. But yeah, there's a slew of others. I've seen some absolutely ridiculous ones. I think probably the one that takes the cake is Wet Dream on Elm Street. And it's got Freddy Krueger, and instead of his razor blade glove, it's four silver vibrators. But the thing is, and they all work. So it's fucking super heavy. Like, imagine holding four vibrators from your hand and they're all turned on. So it's kind of like Chris Elliott in Scary Movie, like with take my strong hand. And like, they try so hard to be sexy with it. It just kind of like flops down everywhere. And it's like a fish out of water.
I was going to say, it's got to look like Edward Scissorhands when he's like cutting and you just see like Johnny Depp's, you know, like wrist going up and down.
If you've never seen Edward's penis hands, that is horror on a whole nother level.
I'm familiar.
I'm going to start recommending that to people when they ask fucking horror movies come October. That's what you deserve.
So horror porn. There should be a horror porn with the guy that has a talking asshole that eats people. So, yeah, but it's like he doesn't like swallow them whole. He like, nom, 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 like, you know, you've got this guy putting his butt on people's face and their butt eats people.
At what point does that become porn and not just like a weird human centipede horror movie?
Well, the guy that he's eating has a boner.
Dude, sure. I want you to start an OnlyFans so badly now.
You're there's the third person that's told me that.
That would just, what would you call it? What's that movie called? Ass Eater?
Eaten ass. Except it's the ass that's actually doing the eating.
Right.
Good God.
Zach, you popped when I said human centipede.
Oh yeah. I mean that's definitely one of those films that I think horror fans, like true horror fans, those gore hounds and things like that, that have been largely desensitized. You know, the type that'll kind of brag about, like, oh, I can eat dinner while watching Cannibal Holocaust and all that. It's like, all right, cool, weird flex, dude, but all right.
How's your boner?
It's like you can take pride in that, I guess, but they also kind of tend to seek out the most fucked up stuff to chase that high. Human Centipede is kind of like that. A Serbian film as of recently, you know, you had that kind of French new wave with Martyrs, High Tension. I know Jordan, you're a fan of High Tension.
I don't want to talk about it. We just talked about this at work the other day.
Yeah. And I mean, that came on the heels of the whole torture porn with Eli Roth and things like that. And then, you know, that was on the heels of the whole J horror as well. And so now people are kind of looking for new horror, but it's this more dramatic storyline with characters that you actually give a shit about, where the horror kind of almost takes a back seat to the relations depicted on screen. You've seen that in
Hereditary.
Hereditary and Midsommar from Ari Laster. You've seen that in the work of Jeremy Gardner with After Midnight. You know, things like It Follows, those are the kind of stories that I think need to be told, and that horror element helps push it forward as well as draw people in. And a lot of times studios and other PR marketing teams and things like that, they're afraid to push that. Because, you know, we grew up in the era of based on a true story, or, you know, whatever kind of gimmick they had to push it, you know, just keep telling yourself it's only a movie. And, you know, we kind of miss that, you know, like I think the last time people really had that deep sense of fear of questioning reality was like with the Blair Witch Project. And, you know, found footage that kind of gave birth to, you know, the Paranormal Activity and things like that. And it's, you know, now we have, you know, movies about, you know, a haunted Zoom call kind of thing. And, you know, it's interesting to see how technology is pushing things forward. But when people don't want to embrace the newness, they're forced to revisit the past and then still want something new. And it's just like, well, you know, I feel like Ryan Gosling. Like,
all right,
what do you want? What do you want?
I know what they want. I know what they want. It's a horror porn made by us. It's called It Swallows. And the characters get head, but you don't see who's giving it to them. So like what's really gonna catch people's eye about this is, how are these people having orgasms without being touched?
This is kind of like Dan Aykroyd getting a blowy in Ghostbusters.
Yeah. We expand on that.
You remember when they put that in a kid's movie? Nobody talks about it.
I want to make a horror movie about a woman that doesn't shave her legs, and it turns out to be really gnarly, wiry leg hair that grows on her, and she cuts people to death with it.
The Wolf Man.
No, it's like she's about to get some head, and she clasps on too hard and grinds her hairy legs against their face, and it just starts.
So it's kind of like an outward, not Slither, Teeth.
Yes.
Yeah. Teeth is great. And I mean, I think that with, you know, the recommendations that we give to people, the films that they're looking for, they should we should push movies that are like that, like Teeth, like Hard Candy. I consider that a horror movie. You have other great movies with, you know, female leads and progressive story tones, like Bit from Brad Elmore, Bliss from Joe Bagos. You can catch that on Shudder. And with horror as well, like, you can have older stars. And I think, like, with other genres, like, you don't really see that. Like, Lynn Shay, like, she's amazing in her franchises. You have M. Night Shyamalan, who kind of played with that, with the grandparent one that he did, The Visit. And you see that more in the horror genre than any others, outside of perhaps comedy, where those people are kind of used as pratfalls, Bad Grandpa or something like that. You know, it's never like, hey, here's people that are like you and I.
Do you remember when we were talking the other day at work about industrial horror?
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? It's probably like the proto of that. It's Eraserhead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that I is that. Like, it dawned on me the other day. It's like Eraserhead. And there's a reason it's so closely sold to like horror films, because it, in a sense, it is. And I would also say Lost Highway. I would consider Lost Highway a horror film.
Yeah, like kind of that body swap kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are fun tones to play with. Like, if it's your horror is meant to be unsettling, it doesn't have to be boo and you're scared, or, you know, there's just some masked killer stalking people. Like, there's nuance to it. And, you know, people are looking for something, but their recommendations should be catered to the type of person that they are. It's kind of like going, you know, being a bartender and someone comes to you like, I want a drink. Like, okay, what do you like? Do you want something sweet, sour? You want something that you can taste the booze in, not taste, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's so many people, especially film critics and things like that, that kind of get that wrong, in my opinion. Recently there was the Guardian article about the haunting of Bly Manor, the new one that's on Netflix. And the fucking article starts with, I'm not a horror fan. And then, like, I immediately checked out. It's like, why would you hire someone that is not a horror fan to review a horror movie that just came out for October for all these people that are looking for horror movie recommendations? It's like, it's this tail, it's the snake eating its own tail kind of thing.
There's a horror movie, Delicious Snake Tail.
Hot Snakes. There's your poop sequel to Eating Ass.
Yeah, Hot Snakes. It's just snakes that come out and eat everything. Out of the pick an orifice and the snakes come out of it.
I got the trilogy for you, and you can bring in animals. Snakes on a Main.
I love how this has devolved into just pure scat humor.
Well, it's Jeremy Shear, so what do you expect? I'm trying to cater to him.
I didn't know you guys were literally potty mouthed.
Oh, yes. No, I'm I use
human
my
toilet.
Only as my own toilet, though.
I only need, like, my own brand.
Yeah. I have, sometimes I pee in my mouth, and not when I'm standing. It's too hard.
You're fucking.
This is completely gone off the rails.
With a boner?
What? No, I can't pee in my own mouth with a boner. It doesn't, the angles don't work right.
What about if you did a handstand? Like, I know you can't physically do a handstand, but what if you did a handstand?
I pee on my belly.
All right. So what horror movies are you going to be watching this month, Shear?
I'm not. I'm going to be watching NXT, and then I'm probably going to watch some YouTube clips of video games that I can't play because my computer sucks too much. And then I'm going to stand outside of my roommate's door and listen to him fuck his girlfriend. And I'm going to watch.
That's a horror movie.
It's pretty scary. And I'm going to watch the children in my neighborhood play. And
you don't have a neighborhood, you have a complex.
Okay, I'm going to watch the children in my complex play. And that is what I'm going to do.
All right. Well, I've got movie recommendations for all of that. Okay. So for the NXT wrestling one, I would recommend Powerbomb.
Of course you would. I can't imagine why you would recommend it.
I'm a shameless shill. But there's also WrestleManiac, the one with fucking Rey Mysterio. It's not a good movie, but it's got some fun effects in it. So then the computer one, I would recommend Brain Scan, starring Edward Furlong. It's kind of like a video game Rear Window sort of kind of thing. It's got the weirdest damn villain in it, the Trickster. Let's see. Watching Children Play, there's a horror movie called The Children, and it's about this family getaway with a group of friends and things like that right around the holidays, and the kids all start getting sick with kind of like this flu like symptoms kind of thing, but what ends up happening is it makes them start attacking and killing the adults. And what was the other thing that you said about?
I don't remember.
There you go. You got three movie recommendations based on the things that you were gonna watch anyway.
When you said The Children, I thought for like when you were like, you said like The Children, and I was like, well, the movie with Kate Winslet and Jackie Earle Haley, and then you're like a family. I'm like, fuck, that's a horror movie. I mean, it kind of is because Jackie Earle Haley's a fucking pedophile in it, but no, that's Little Children.
I'm trying to remember if there was a horror movie I was going to watch this month, but I don't think there is. I think, there is. So did you know that Glenn Danzig made a horror movie?
Jesus.
You need Christ. To borrow it?
No, I don't need to borrow it. Kristen Gailwood bought it. So we've been watching like parts of it at Sad Boys meetings.
Zach, and it is go ahead.
Bad.
Oh, go ahead, Zach.
It is like, it's like if Glenn Danzig just watched The Room and was like, yeah, I can do that. But we'll make it spooky.
Yeah. With eye boobs.
Yeah. There's a really good episode of The Core, which is kind of like this 20-minute show hosted by Mickey Keating on Shudder. They usually talk to like filmmakers and we'll, you know, go over the nuances of how to shoot it, how to write it, how to do different effects and things like that. But one of the last episodes is a interview with Glenn Danzig as he's kind of in the midst of, I think he was finishing up post-production on Veronica. And it's kind of fascinating look into his mind because, you know, he's post his music career, you know, he's delved back into his love of comic books and things like that. And then he's all set to deliver this movie, this thing that's kind of be a shot across the bow to other comic book movies, especially other horror movies and things like that. And he gives us this kind of 12-year-old wet dream after spending too much time at a haunted house kind of thing. I don't even know how to describe this.
A strip club in October?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'd be all for. I mean...
So, all right. So I got that movie right as it was coming out because this movie's been in production or at least been in talks for 15 years at least. Mm-hmm. And so Chelsea got it and brought it home. And Zach and I had plans to hang out and watch Veronica and Hell Comes to Frogtown the next day because I wanted to watch it and like know what I was getting into. And I'm really happy that I did. Because I watched the night before and I was like, this is the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen in my life. It's the worst movie I've ever seen, hands down. And so Zach comes over the next day. He brings Hell Comes to Frogtown, which I had never seen. and which is Roddy Piper movie. So I was real excited to watch it. And Zach was like, here, let's watch this. I was like, let's not end the day on a down note, meaning like, let's not watch Veronica second. He's like, are you sure? I was like, trust me. And getting to watch it, I'll watch that movie 10 more times in my life just to see people's reactions, because watching Zach watch it and then getting to talk about it was one of, it was so funny. It was so
bad. It hurt my brain. It legitimately hurt my brain. Like, there's parts of it that I enjoy. Don't get me wrong. Like, there's sure. little snippets, you know, like, as weird as they are, like the eye boobs and things like that. I'm like, okay, like, segmented, it's interesting. But as a whole, there's no real narrative. There's no real narration. There's no kind of guide. There's no real through line. And I feel like I'm reading a comic book where all the pages are out of order, kind of thing.
Yeah. It sounds about right.
Yeah.
I've only seen the eye boobs part so far, but we're going to move on.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, it's like that movie it's in the vein of so many other like body horror flicks, and especially like Japanese movies that I absolutely adore. Like if I'm going to hate on something, I'm going to offer a resolution. If I offer a critique, I'm going to offer a resolution. So if you watched Veronica and hated it or disliked it, then I would say watch something like Meatball Machine or Tokyo Gore Police or Mutant Girl Squad. Those are flicks from the Sushi Typhoon guys that are really fun and amazing and push the envelope in the ways that I think Glenn Danzig thought he was doing, but it feels like he didn't even touch the envelope, to let alone push it.
He was too busy lingering on shots that didn't need to be lingered on.
Right, yeah. For a flick that is supposed to be the male gaze, like, I've never been more bored with a strip club scene in my entire fucking life.
Oh, who was the X-Pox in it, right? Spoiler alert here.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, he was in the background. He was working catering, and he ended up in the shot accidentally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's just, I don't know, dude, like, Danzig, you should have just stuck to like 1994 and before, because yeah. He hasn't really done anything since. But although I didn't hear the Elvis covers are good.
Yeah, I do think this brings up a really valid point to touch on as well, is that within horror fandom as well, and especially people that approach, you know, horror fans looking for recommendations, they want to spew out the "it's so bad, it's good" kind of thing,
which I hate.
Me too.
Yeah, and it's kind of like that same mentality of like, oh, this is a guilty pleasure, and it's like, well, fuck you, dude. Like what you like. Have the balls to stand up and say, I enjoy this. If you don't like it, cool. Share with me what you like, and we can have a conversation about that. But if not, fucking kick rocks.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of things too, as well as like where people will revisit films or see films for the first time, you know, from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the early noughts, and things like that. And they'll just laugh at like, oh, how bad this is, and things like that. And it's like, well, there's no historical context for you. I mean, the fact that we survived 2000s horror films is a testament into itself.
Blair Witch 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Blair Witch 2. And I mean, and the flip side of that coin too is it's worth revisiting some of those films. Like, yeah. I remember House of Wax, that remake with Paris Hilton getting shit on so fucking hard. And I recently revisited it, and I was like, this movie kind of rips.
Yeah. Like, I really like that movie. Effects are
great. Yeah. And in terms of remakes, I think that's one that kind of sticks out and kind of deserved a remake.
Yeah.
So I'm always curious.
Because it's a Vincent Price flick, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, a lot of those could be revisited, you know, the abdominal Dr. Vibes, you know, a slew of others, but, you know, they kind of want to just revisit these classics that need to be left well enough alone.
Yeah.
And that's all from people that are like, well, I just wish there was, you know, another Leatherface. And it's like, I mean, how many do you really need, dude? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, for every statement like that, though, you get people like me that it's like, well, yeah, I'll watch Halloween Kills. You know what I mean? Like, I'll still show up. I'm going to bitch, but I know that I'll still show up.
Unless it's Jeepers Creepers, because fuck that guy.
Oh yeah, fuck Victor Salva. I'll go on record right now. Fuck Victor Salva. Fuck anybody that's supporting him, because that's the other fucking thing that gets in my craw, and I hate about people like that is that you have companies that, like, want to keep pushing Jeepers Creepers, yeah. And it's like, oh, how many Blu-ray releases do we need? Do we need a new director's commentary? Fuck no. Fuck anybody that buys it too. Like, if you don't know,
they're the only ones that are supporting him in his trying time of being a pederast.
I mean, dude, it's bonkers to me. Like, the fact that he was convicted and then ends up getting a Disney gig when he made Powder about a hairless man child that just needs the love and understanding of an adult male, right? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. After he was convicted, that's the most egregious part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The second most egregious is that movie, and it sucks. So,
yeah. And the fact that they're still making sequels, you know, they still are trying to push that forward. And, you know, I don't want to be one of those people that, you know, you can't forgive people for their past transgressions, or that people can't grow and evolve and things like that.
There's a level.
Yeah. But there's a certain degree that it's like, no, man, you don't get to make movies anymore after, you know, raping a child.
Yeah.
And
get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And you get the worst kind of horror fans that are like, well, when's Clown House coming to Blu-ray? Fuck you.
Yeah, you were just telling me about that. That is sheer. Do you know what that movie is, Clown House?
I do not know what that movie is.
Oh, you got a fun Google search ahead of you, brother.
I get mad enough about things as it is. I'll pass.
yeah, that's probably a good idea, actually. But you know, I don't do it every October because I'll watch it all year. But like, I have the end of September, I did start rewatching all of the Twilight Zone again because I can never get enough of that show.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Twilight, that was a franchise that, you know, picked up on a lot of horror themes and ran with it and ran it into the ground.
Yeah. I was waiting for that.
But, you know, it's kind of like how Kevin Smith said, like, don't fuck this up. Everybody wants, you know, that goth girl to take home kind of thing. This is what they want. This is what we need kind of thing. And it's like, well, to a degree, maybe, because it just sparked this super weird fandom that it's kind of problematic in its own sense, especially that 50 Shades of Grey territory. But they're, you know, preteens and women and people of color need to be represented in films. They need to be seen as well. Like, I know the new Craft movie that's coming out, Legacy, that's not for me. But I'm really glad that it's going to be out there for a new generation. I'm hoping it doesn't kind of fall into that remake of Heather's kind of territory, but we need that, like the Witches, that remake that that they just pushed out. Like, I know that's not for me either.
They did a Witches remake.
Oh,
Chris,
yeah.
Rock as the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would like Angelica Houston the Witches?
Yep. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna have to look this up. I did not know that.
It's on HBO Max.
Thank you.
So, like, I do hope that people will revisit the originals, but at the same time,
the original Witches is on Netflix right now. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's, you know, people just want to consume what's in front of them. Like, they don't want to chase anything down. And like with recommendations, like that's I try to always tell people where they can find it as well. Like, I try not to go super crazy and be like, hey, here's a horror movie that you can only get on Betamax. you know, But that's the other thing, is there's so many movies that are going to be forever lost to VHS because they've never made the jump to DVD or Blu-ray and things like that, whether it be for rights issues, for legality reasons,
making whatever. Enough money.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, you have these great companies like AGFA, the American Genre Film Association Academy. You have Arrow Video, you have Vinegar Syndrome and things like that, that are bringing kind of like these forgotten cult movies back in the spotlight, like things like Tammy and the T-Rex, and just a slew of other ones. And I like the idea of a partnership with Shudder to help make these more accessible, because that's the other thing is, you know, now we're living in this digital age where things should be far more accessible, whether it be on Netflix, Shudder, Prime, Hulu, Tubi. Like, Tubi got bigger because of horror. Like, there are, like, if you go looking for any movie on Tubi, there are going to be far more horror movies on there. You know, more than three quarters are going to be utter dog shit because that's where they get dumped. But that's kind of how horror gets treated. Like, you know, me growing up, there was always two times a year that you could always account on seeing horror movies. One was October, you know, purely for Halloween and things like that. The next was come February, because everybody wanted to watch something scary with their beau for Valentine's Day.
Oh, see, I don't need to do that with my beau for Valentine's Day. If she wants to see something scary, I'll leave the lights on during sex.
Oh, I think we should leave the people with that beautiful sight in their minds.
So, Zach, where can we find you on the internets?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zach for Zombies, ZachForZombies. And I recently joined TikTok, same name, and that's where I actually do movie recommendations. So I refuse to be part of the problem, trying to be part of the solution. If you're looking for horror movie recommendations or just movie recommendations in general, hit me up on there. I try to showcase stuff from my collection, things that are often off the beaten path that people haven't seen but can find pretty easily.
Well, all right. So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates people that only watch horror movies in October as much as Zach Schildwachter.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep setting up and falling on my face.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.